Donald Trump, badly wounded in Iowa, despite being a newcomer with all the pitfalls, it came as a shock to many that the Donald has feet of clay. But as Trump, as one journalist claims, badly wounded, of course, only time will tell. But in the short term, anything that dents or puts a dent into his invincibility harms a newcomer whose entire argument is natural genius applied in a practical way to American political problems. Sound familiar, friends? In the meantime, New Hampshire beckons, a completely different race, not as religious. New Hampshire voters can restore the golden glow to Trump's magnificent blonde comb-over. But now he must be aware of the sudden trifecta, the prespocalypse of six, like no other race, with Trump, Cruz, Rubio, and the two-headed monster Hilburn. Trump must be cursing his luck over Iowa. He's now fighting back and swearing like a sailor. But will he learn his lessons from Ruby and Cruz's campaigns and their ad blitzes and dedicated volunteers pouring in at the last minute? I'd say he probably will. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Chris Barella is starting to get his day in court with a grand jury, eager or at least ready to hear his charges. Will the diminutive jailer be indicted? Will he be subjected to a lengthy high-profile trial? Will he possibly be in his own jail where, much like Jonathan Swift, the mad Irish novelist and social reformer, locked up in the nut house he years earlier demanded to be built? Will he be locked up in his own jail? Stay tuned, sports fans. Well, good morning to you. Kelly here, 608, and it is the third day of February. A little bit cold out there. It was 19 degrees as I was bundling up to jump in my chariot to come down here. And it is a little chilly. I threw on an extra undershirt actually this morning. So anyway, we do have local news with Chris Barella's getting his grand jury. The grand jury is what, you know, obviously the grand jury is what looks into the charges and then tells, you know, the court we're ready to proceed or it blocks it. I got one. Yeah, there's not a lot of attorneys in town who do grand jury practice. I got one charge thrown out at a grand jury, but it's not real easy. You have to bring your, if you want your client to be there, the client has to show up and answer any questions, and the answers to those questions will normally, or most attorneys feel, will be used to harm your client as opposed to help him. So I'm interested to see what's going on. Now, we've got this interesting situation where, and I really think this is interesting, where Trump gets outplayed a little bit. It's the first game, right? I mean, it's the first battle of a big war. But there was something bad that happened that was avoidable probably. And it just shows you that that Trump is an amateur. He allowed himself to get out-organized. He listened to his own rhetoric and his own polling, the polling from Real Clear Politics or from Drudge Report or whatever. When he put his people together, he's doing it on a budget from state to state, but they say that what happened in New Hampshire was that Cruz came in with a lot of volunteers. And he got these, obviously he had pastors in his pocket. And a small state like that, intensity is everything. So I read an analysis last night of what happened, and it was pretty fascinating, and I thought I would want to bring it on and share it with you. The upshot was, from what they can gather, is that, yes, this is a new record-setting election of people coming in to vote for the first time. And that was supposed to be good news for Trump, and it turned out to be good news for the top three candidates, Trump and Rubio and Cruz. It was also a downside to Trump because a small but significant portion of the newcomers got registered so they could vote against Trump. So, you know, careful what you ask for. It came back to bite him in his behind, but it's, you know, it is the first race. As soon as we have another race when Trump wins, and certainly he will win his share, we're going to be looking at this whole thing differently. But I think that Trump learned a valuable, a painful, probably an expensive, and according to his followers, fully not a fatal lesson. Because, you know, at this level, there's not a lot of room for screw-ups. And Trump has kind of this Trump thing reminds me of Obama a little bit. The euphoria, the support, the almost kind of unhinged followers. Not all of them, of course, but some of them. And just getting swept up in this idea that we're dealing with an epic leader. An extraordinary natural, you know, the kid that could go from high school and start on a professional team. And so, you know, it's, let's face it. I mean, the political system in America is its own study. It's its own animal to walk in from totally outside like Trump has done. And he's done a spectacular job, but you can't know what you've never experienced. And I think that what has happened is that in coming in and seeing how Cruz, you know, Trump just didn't have that experience of coming in and doing this kind of 11th hour surge towards the finish line. It's whoever gets over the finish line. It doesn't matter, right? It's like a marathon. The person who led 99% of the marathon, it doesn't go down in the history books. So there was an ad blitz by Marco Rubio, who's an extremely attractive and seems down to earth and likable. You want him, it's the kind of guy you'd love to have living next door to you. Family friendly, well spoken, earnest, idealistic. And then you've got Cruz, maybe the guy you don't want living next door to you because he's an idealist and he is a little bit of a, you know, he's a bomb thrower. He is a radical. But, you know, radical problems maybe call for radical answers. And who knows? I mean, maybe Cruz's White House looks a lot scarier for the left than Trump's White House. Trump is still kind of finding out the difference between having an image and delivering. And so I mean, I think it's kind of it's entertaining, certainly. But, you know, when Trump loses, then he goes off and he says that Cruz is going to get his rear end suit off. Now, in the meantime, you've got some hijinks, some dirty tricks occurring from the Rubio campaign, where they're saying that Ben Carson goes down. Ben Carson has got a little touch of the Jeb Bush problem, under energy. He goes down to take a break in the middle of a campaign. I don't blame him. I'd probably want to do it myself, but ill-advised to let anybody know what's going on. And so you end up with a situation for the doctor, who somebody pointed out really likes to talk with his hands, and maybe that's a no-brainer for a surgeon. Well, the puns are piling up here. Neurosurgeon, you know, no-brainer. But anyway, I'm not trying to kill you with the morning puns. But anyway, we'll take a break here and come back and listen to a few of those clips. Kelly O'Connell, teen on the button. And it's the third day of February. It's about 19 degrees out there. It's chilly. Get out, start that car, let it warm up, turn on the heater, go back in the house and have a cup of coffee so you can jump in a toasty car. And we'll come back. This is more Apple Tom Scott to pick up these clips. Mm-hmm. All right, so I've got a clip here for you of Donald Trump raging into the night. Don't go quiet into that night. Isn't that what the poet says? He's going after it. Now, ISIS, here's where the natural advantage of Donald comes in. Number one, old guy, wise old guy, even if he's a bit crotchety, if he's got a nasty temper, he's still got a lot of... He's won and lost a lot in his life. And so, and in the business world where they're, you know, you go out of business and, you can go through bankruptcy or whatever, but it's, situation here now where I think that he is going to read the tea leaves. He's going to see what happened in that race and how they won it. And, you know, it's a small race. He'll be able to pick it up. His natural advantage is his money. He can open his wallet as wide as he wants and buy what other campaigns have to get free. Or he can take his very large following and draw out of them the volunteerage. So I still think odds are on that Trump is going to win. But Cruz, I think, surprised everybody a little bit. And Rubio, the upstart, calling him an upstart isn't quite fair because he's the only candidate in there that's representing the establishment. But here's Trump. It gets a little bit, there's one bad word in here, so I'll apologize ahead of time.
Been a part from the day, and Ted Cruz comes out with an ad that I'm in favor of Obama. Can you believe this? Just like he did with Carson. Where Carson, he said, left Iowa. He's out of the race. Vote for him. Did you hear about this one? He said he left Iowa. Carson's a nice guy, Ben. So Ben is all of a sudden getting calls that he quit the race. These guys said he quit the race. He's gone. He's out. Send your votes to him. What kind of people are we dealing with these politicians? And made up liar, honestly. And made up stories. Everybody in here, many of you know me. From day one, I've been talking about we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. From day one. Now, we're going to do it. If you remember, so important. From day one, I've been saying repeal and replace Obamacare. I've been talking about the $5 billion website that never worked. For years, right? All of a sudden, I see an ad or something. Donald Trump is in favor of Obamacare. And people are calling, oh, I thought you were against it. That's too bad. These are dishonest people, these politicians. These are worse than real estate, I'm telling you. No. These are truly dishonest people. Then he said, Ben Carson has quit the race. The day of the election. Ben Carson, during a caucus, Ben Carson has quit the race. And Ben didn't quit the race. In other words, Ben Carson quit and let me have your votes. What kind of crap is this? And then he makes up a thing that says, like it's on a government document, voter violation. It says on top, just like it comes right out of government, municipal, voter violation. And it talks about, it gives grades, F, 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 you haven't voted. But it says you can go vote, but you got to go vote for him. And people are afraid. They think, oh, I'm in violation. I have to go vote. What kind of people are these people? And then the attorney general in Iowa is investigated, but by that time, they're all gone. The election's over. What kind of people do we have running for office? No, it's honestly, really, really dishonest. And I think I know why. You know why? Because he was born in Canada. Was. happens to be a problem, folks. That happens to be. You watch. The Democrats, they've already said they're going to sue him. He gets the nomination, they're going to sue his ass off. Actually, they're going to sue the country, but they're going to sue him. And that's a big problem. I wanted to...
All right, so he's going to get his rear end sued off. You can hear the pent-up frustration there. And, well, you can't blame the guy. He was, thought he was going to win, and he didn't win. He actually handled the whole thing better than I thought he might. To me, more important than any one candidate is the process getting, although, you know, we got to get the right candidate up there, too. We can't have another McCain debacle, you know. I mean, this kind of, you know, this capitulation to before the election starts by offering up a kind of a weakened candidate is totally unacceptable. And, you know, the people running the GOP act like they dropped out of the Democratic Party to come over and run the GOP. It's sad. You know, if you don't have distinctive policies that you stand up for, what's the purpose in having a party? But these people at the top of the GOP ought to be replaced, to be honest. And I've said this a thousand times, but nobody from the GOP has ever contacted me in this town. Isn't that amazing? So here is from Morning Joe a little bit of analysis on the winning of the of this Iowa by Cruz.
Exhausted, staying up all night watching Nicole. Who was up here Nicole all night?
Well,
I have no idea how you still.
You guys are amazing.
We have to start We have to start this where we ended it yesterday in Des Moines at 5 o'clock.
Where was that?
Well, Willie and I. We remember Willie. We were having a conversation that we said because it's a caucus, we have no idea how this is going to turn out. We're flying blind. And sure enough, there were some shocks last night.
Yeah, we talked about turnout being the big
thing.
Huge turnout on the Republican side, a record by something like 50% over last year's record, 185,000, except the turnout benefited Ted Cruz and not Donald Trump.
And Nicole Wallace, I'm gonna say something that might get some of the Obama people that ran that campaign, who were friends of ours, upset by comparing. But the only comparison I've ever seen to organization and a turnout operation like Ted Cruz's is Barack Obama. Here is a guy that knew where every vote was. He got the hell beat out of him for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The momentum was behind him. He plummeted in the polls. The gold standard, the Des Moines Register, plummeted in the polls. It's not that they get really bad at doing polls all of a sudden. People are, oh, the polls are off. No, Ted Cruz
changed the electorate.
Changed the electorate, was light years ahead of the field in this turnout model. So, by the way, if you're waking up this morning and say, oh, all the polls suck up. No. What this was about Ted Cruz knowing where every one of his votes were, like nobody but Barack Obama in 2000.
And Obama acknowledged that they built on Ken Melman's model for George W. Bush's 2000 victory in Iowa. So every cycle, someone innovates and improves upon the last model. I saw the Cruz team in Iowa the day before the caucuses, and they were so calm and so confident. There were no frantic stuff. They were at lunch for a couple hours. And I said, they're either positive they're going to lose or they're positive they're going to win. But this was the calmest, coolest senior campaign team I had ever seen on the day before our caucus.
So I heard you say that last night.
Mm-hmm.
I heard people say that the Cruz people were calm. And again, going back to Barack Obama's team, Mika, it reminded me of David Axelrod in 2012. I would call the Romney team there, we're going to win. We got this. We got that. We've got 40,000 guys. I would call David Axelrod and he said, we are going to win by at least 3 percentage points. And he kept going back and forth. He was so calm. I go, David, why are you so calm? He says, I'm so calm because I know where every vote is. Mm-hmm. We're going to get them to come out. They're not. And if we don't, I will shave my mustache.
He tweeted last night something about never knowing who's going to win Iowa on the Democratic side.
That David Axelrod in Cruz's campaign is Jeff Rowe, who's the campaign manager, an incredibly smart guy. And he actually said a couple of days ago, not only are we going to win, but watch for Rubio to sneak up and push Trump for second place. And that's exactly what happened.
Mark Halperin, we heard all day yesterday, high turnout would help Donald Trump. Well, you know, if you look at the numbers historically, and people are, you know, anybody that says Donald Trump is a big loser, Donald Trump got more votes than any presidential candidate in the history of the Iowa caucus on the Republican side. Other than Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz.
Against any other operation, Trump wins last night. Cruz just had an extraordinary operation.
40 minutes ago, I was engaged in a quadrennial ritual waiting for my bag at the Manchester airport after an overnight flight with a candidate. And I was waiting with the aforementioned Jeff Rowe. And the bags were not coming off the plane. It was a great scene because the Sanders plane had landed just before us. So there were a lot of reporters and operatives waiting for their bags. And I said to Jeff Rowe, I said, Jeff, this is a situation that requires managing. You're the campaign manager. Please get everybody their bags. And he did. Not his first or last act of management. Jeff Rowe said to me, again, about 40 minutes ago, that they were not the least bit surprised at this, that their data showed it.
All right. So you've got. I guess it's – well, I mean, you got to say it's a new ball game here, right? So maybe the best thing that could have happened to Donald Trump, if you're a Trump fan and a lot of people – or somebody came up to me and said, I can't believe how much you're backing Trump. I do not back Trump. I certainly enjoy his pushing back against the media and the political figures. I'm thrilled when he goes after these people and they don't have an answer and he pounds them down. But I'm for whoever can carry the message forward to the White House. If that's Cruz, if that's Rubio, if that's Trump, we cannot have another debacle. We're going to lose the country. That's what I believe. Maybe Cruz is the religious, Trump is a more secular model. Maybe Cruz is a religious model of Trump, you know? Yeah, I don't think Rubio is going to turn anything over. He's the one who's tried to get amnesty through. But you got to admit, he's a lovable guy. I mean, just something about the way he talks, his earnestness, the smile on his face and everything. You could listen to him all day, but we have got to, the conservative movement has got to get its message back on the White House. I mean, this country under all of these, you know, I'm going to change America changes, is dying. We're absolutely dying. And the elites that are running the country could not be happier with themselves. They're totally disconnected from reality. We'll take a break here. 6:30 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. I'll tell you about something that happened yesterday. Be right back. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Lydia.
It's Kelly. Who's this?
Can you hear me? It's Lydia.
Kelly, who's this?
It's
Kelly,
Lydia.
Who's this? Kelly, who's this? Hold on. If you can hear me, hold on. And I don't know what's going on with the phone when I'm off the air, but you'll be on the air in just a second. So just hold on. Thank you. it's Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, it's Lydia. That was me before. My phone goofed up, so I'm calling from my landline.
It was happening yesterday, and I think I didn't have a button pushed in the studio.
Okay.
So let me hold on just a second. I'm going to dump the other line, okay?
Sure.
All right. So what are we going to talk about?
The state legislature has Governor Susana gave the go ahead for the House Bill 275, which is the Born Alive bill, to be considered. I guess it's going to be reviewed by the Health Committee. House Bill 275, and it's if a baby is
Lydia,
yeah.
Can you hear me? If you hear me start to talk, immediately stop talking. Do me a favor. We're going to be on in just like 20 seconds. Sit down and write out a paragraph, just an outline, but just so you can read off of it because you get nervous. I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hey, I've got an interesting anecdote. But we do have a call from Lydia, and we're going to bring her on in just a second about a bill in the House, Senate, whatever, in front of the governor. But I do have an interesting anecdote to tell you about. Anyway, let's bring on Lydia. Lydia, this is Kelly, and you were going to tell us about a House or Senate bill that was coming up to the governor to sign on the Born Alive bill?
Yeah, well, it's going to be considered. It's House Bill HB 275. If a baby is born alive during an abortion procedure, the bill says that the doctor's not to kill the child, but to give medical treatment.
Well, I mean, if you're giving something like that, if there's a baby that's born alive and you kill it, that's murder.
Exactly. But we are the late-term abortion capital, and babies, that's already going on. So other states have passed this, but we need to contact our legislators. And I have a website that gives more information.
All right, quickly, let's get that out there.
Okay, it's rtlnm.org. That's righttolifenewmexico.org. RTLNM.
Okay, all right.
And then New Mexico Alliance for Life is another website, NM Alliance for Life.
Sounds like a good cause. Anything else?
No,
briefly.
But just to act quickly, because it's going to be reviewed Thursday morning at the Health Committee.
Okay.
If it passes through them, then it goes to the Judiciary Committee.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Have a good day. All right, folks. Hey, if you call in, there's some people that get – I think Lydia gets a little bit nervous, but sit down and lay out a paragraph, not a paragraph, but an outline of what you want to say from the first to the last point. Because what is typical is for people to call up, make their first point, and then kind of forget the other points they wanted to make. And then while they're talking, they kind of remember it. So it kind of rolls it out. It's like any other situation where time is limited. You want to get your points out immediately, you know? But anyway, yeah, right to life bill. It just amazes me this country has killed so many, call them fetuses, call them babies. I would call them babies, of course. That's what they are. I'm just absolutely astounded at how many babies have been killed in this country. It's just so gruesome, you know? And so anyway, I get a phone call from a listener yesterday. I want your mailing address so they can send me a note, and now I'm trying to figure out, is it going to be a nasty note? kind of calling me out, or is it going to be a nice note? Or, but you know, the person calls in. I've locked horns with this person. But anyway, careful starting a war with somebody who's on the radio every day or writing a column every day. So getting back to the situation in this national campaign, it's fluid, but people were getting up and saying that it hurts Bernie Sanders to tie, and it hurts Bernie Sanders to not have won there. I think it hurts Hillary Clinton. And one of the things that Chris Christie was saying is that the national media is absolutely besides itself trying to get him elected or her elected. She is like a him. She's so aggressive. You know, Hillary Clinton has got to be one of the weirdest people I've ever observed over a long period of time. She's just strange. Just if you could do a study on her laughter alone, she laughs at the time that most people would just keep quiet. You know, she laughs at stuff that is so serious and so ominous. But I've got a little bit more on the Cruz campaign. Let me just kind of cue this thing up here, but Cruz campaign, the dirty tricks. All right, so if you're a Christian, do you accept that if these dirty tricks, if the campaign actually did dirty tricks, do you accept that that's a, you know, is that all right? I think this video I saw playing a little bit earlier, but Cruz has this staff member that looks like Dr. Strange Glove, you know. He looks like the kind of guy that would pull a dirty trick. I don't know what his name is. Rick Tyler. Sounds like a rock and roller, but he looks like a spy. Anyway, here's this guy on the Dirty Tricks campaign.
To the Republican side, joining us now from Manchester, New Hampshire, the communications director for the Ted Cruz campaign, Rick Tyler. Congratulations this morning.
So Rick, you may not take this as a compliment. We mean it as a compliment. You guys learned from Barack Obama and some of the best get out of the vote operations. What you all did, and we've been talking about it now for an hour and a half, what you guys did in Iowa last night on turnout was nothing short of extraordinary. How did it happen? And how early did you know? I talked about how Axelrod knew, like weeks before, what his vote count was going to be. Nicole talked about how calm you guys were a couple of days ago. When did you guys know that you had Iowa?
You know, we've been tracking it daily for weeks now, and we were neck and neck, and it was really tight, and sometimes we were up and sometimes we were down. But in the final days, we knew that we were up. And so you really kind of have to believe the numbers because the Des Moines Register poll came out and the Quinnipiac poll came out, and you really start to worry about it. And then on election day, it's like, oh my gosh, this is all real. What the heck is going to happen? And then the numbers started coming in, and at first we were just slightly behind, and then we were ahead, and we were ahead all night, and then the numbers just started.
He's gonna talk about the dirty trick here in just a second.
And it really was a turnout operation. It was
unbelievable.
It was having 12,000 people on the ground and having all of our caucus captains named and having a 1,500 precinct captains named. And, you know, the thing is about Ted Cruz is these people weren't hard to find. It was like they wanted to be found. We were just able to find them and get them in the work. And just so many people came from across the country to help us in Iowa, really from all over the country. And so we were making 20,000 calls a day, knocking on 2,000 doors. Unbelievable numbers. So,
wow.
So we're really pleased.
So you've been tracking this. You guys were confident. You guys won. I have to ask, what with the allegations of, I guess I'll have to say that in quotes, of dirty tricks, the mailers that really seem totally off color in terms of how to win, and also the sort of putting it out there that Ben Carson had dropped out with your top surrogate even tweeting it. Why do that?
Well, for one, the mailer was modeled after the Iowa Republican Party mailer that got so many Republicans elected in the last cycle, and it was very successful. It was one of many tools we used to persuade people. What I like to tell people is 3 days ago, I was in an Uber car and the guy told me that he wasn't going to caucus. And I said, well, if we were going to caucus, who'd you caucus for? And he said, Ted Cruz. And so I spent the rest of the trip trying to guilt him into caucusing. But, and he promised me by the end that he was going to caucus.
The mailer, wasn't it very deceptive? I mean, wouldn't you consider that dirty politics if that was done to your candidate?
I could show you lots of mailers that people that I would consider deceptive. But this was reminding people that it was their obligation and duty to vote. And these are people who don't normally vote that we think would vote for Ted Cruz. And we believe through the follow-up calls, we got a lot of those people to say they would vote for Ted Cruz. On the Ben Carson allegation, it's just false. We simply, as a campaign, repeated what Ben Carson had said in his own words. He said after Iowa, he was going to go back to Florida for a couple of days, and then he was going to go to D.C. to the prayer breakfast. And what that told us was he was not going to New Hampshire. That's not a dirty trick. That was really surprising by a campaign who was once leading in Iowa, saying he's not going to come to New Hampshire. I mean, that's a news item.
Willie, Rick, good morning. It's Willie Geist. A lot of people wondering now what you do with this win in Iowa. You guys put together an organization that future.
All right. So dirty tricks, telling people that somebody has dropped out. I mean, was it a dirty trick? This is ball at the highest level, at the highest league. So, I mean, obviously, if you're putting out information that you know to be false. The mailer looked weird, and Drudge had put it up there. He put it up there, and it looked very strange. But you know, I mean, this is like I say, activities at the highest level, and you've got to, you know, if you're Ben Carson and you go home for a break, to expect people to suggest you're dropping out because you came in fourth. 647 Kelly O'Connell, Amless Cruz, is saying 1450, KOBE, 523-1450, 523-1450. We'll be back. And I've got a little note from Senator Christie, or Governor Christie, on Hillary Clinton being loved by the entire media. All right, so one question coming up here is what is the life expectancy of these people that got down 1-3% of the vote in Iowa? How long does Jeb Bush say, "I never wanted to be the front runner," which to me is an idiotic thing to say? I mean, maybe the front runner is cursed in a lot of races, but don't you want to be around the top, you know? So, I mean, and now he's getting his mother involved. I honestly think the guy had to drop out, because that would realign the race, and the people that have committed themselves to Jeb Bush would then go over to Rubio or whatever. It would help kind of shake things out. I am fascinated, though, if Ted Cruz can outplay Donald Trump, I'll be amazed. Because although he knows politics a lot better than Trump does, having run, you know, I think Cruz was down by 30 points or something in Texas when he was elected. Before he was elected, he just went up like a skyrocket. And obviously, he's a very savvy guy, a great speaker. Although, granted, his guts are hated. But if he can outplay Donald at this level, you really got to take your hat off to him. And Rubio is going to end up with the establishment behind him. That's going to be a ton of money. So then the question is, what's going on with Hillary? I've got a little clip here for you from Chris Christie. Chris Christie, is he done? Pretty close.
On Friday, Hillary was revealed to have 22 such secret material that they could not release a word. Former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates told me high probability the Russians had compromised her server. Everybody knows she has committed a felon. It's not a felon. Maybe it's misdemeanors of 18 U.S.C. 1924, but it could be the felon. It could be the higher one, the reckless. Why doesn't the national news media report on this? This is a big crisis.
Well, because the national news media wants Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States. This is no shock to you, is it?
Well,
you and I live in the same world. They want her to be president of the United States. And it was fine to report on this months and months ago before people were voting. But now that people are voting, they don't want to disturb that one bit.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for stopping by my YouTube channel.
All right. So, we'll take a little comedy break here and then come back and finish her up. Kelly O'Connelly in Las Cruces at 6:53. It's about 19 degrees outside. 523-1450 to call in on AM 1450 KOBE.
That's how you stay married 20 years, right? 1,000 cell phone calls a day. Right, gotta go, hon. Love you. Gotta go. Love you. I got a big show. Yeah, Pasadena. Gotta go. Love you. I say love you so much on the cell phone. Today I told a full-grown Mexican man that I loved him. I live in North Hollywood. I called to complain about my cable bill. I said, dude, I didn't rent that thing. The movie, I don't, no problem, bro. I'll take it off the bill. I said, thanks a lot, man. Gotta go. Love you. I don't know what to do. I got all red-faced. I said, dude, I'm just a beat-down husband. I gotta say love you all the time. He goes, me too, bro. Love you.
All right, so it's 6:57. We're almost done here in the first hour, but I'm wondering, is it possible that Ted Cruz or Donald Trump is like, let's put this in dating terms, Donald Trump is the girl that you would, if you can squeeze your mind into this, is like the girl you would date but not marry. Cruz is the girl you would marry, even though you know that, well, this is causing my own head a little bit of discomfort here. But maybe Trump is great because he would do or say anything, and no comment is too far over the line. It's exciting, but that's not the kind of person that, you want to pledge your life to. So, and Rubio is like, I don't know. He is the candidate that the establishment behind will compromise on, but he'll sell you out. I mean, that Marco Rubio, if he was trying to naturalize all these people, will sell out the conservative movement when he gets into the White House, right? I mean, that's a given. But the question is how far. So we don't know what Trump would do because he doesn't have a track record. Now, Cruz says he'll fight for the Constitution, like various people have called up and talked about him in pretty much hushed and messianic terms. But what would he really do? I mean, it depends on what the opportunities are, right? 6:59, Kelly O'Connell, and take you out of here with some apple juice, alive. Set from New York City, Tom Scott. We'll be back after a break on the hour, and I'm going to get into the Chris Borella story. We'll be right back. Okay, so it's 7:06, third day of February. It's a little cold outside. It was 19 degrees when I came in the studio, and now it is, well, it says it's 17 degrees. I'm going to have to verify this, see how the temperature's going down. They say that it's always coldest before the dawn, don't they, or is it darkest? Something like that. All right. So I told you I got a phone call, an ominous phone call. What's your address? How do I mail you from somebody who calls into the show who's obviously PO'd at me? But if you have a beef, bring it on the air. Yeah, bring it on the air. Write me a letter. If you get cut off on this show, I mean, I think anybody who's listened to the show long enough will understand. People either get cut off because we're running out of time, or because the call has been going on too long and it's time to switch gears, or because you can't communicate like a civilized person. To call up and think that you're going to get to talk and nobody's going to interrupt you is fantasy. Not good radio. In addition to that, why would anybody have a radio show where people just called up and talked and nobody could interrupt them, you know? Who would listen to that? So if you're disappointed or outraged because how you've been treated, I think you should go and take a look at the mirror. Ultimately, I'm trying to make the show as enjoyable as possible. If you're difficult to deal with, I will just guess one thing. If you're difficult to deal with on the air, I'm going to guess that in your personal life, people complain about you and claim that you're domineering or that you don't listen. You're opinionated. You think you're always right. You're self-righteous. You know, just guessing. All right. Looking for weather here. I don't claim, by the way, to never be wrong, but I mean, generally speaking, I do go back and listen to the shows. Generally speaking, when people get hung up on, it's usually time to hang up on them, you know? All right, so 19 degrees out there right now, according to this website. But anyway, it's a local one. And my phone tracker is saying it's 17. So somewhere between, can we compromise at 18? All right, so we've got this situation coming up for Chris Barella, and I found a little clip. What happens in a grand jury? I can explain it to you. I mean, grand jury, but here's a little clip. Pretty much cover everything. 523-1450 if you want to call in. Check this out, though. What's happening to Chris Barella, the jailer? He's getting prosecuted, or they want to prosecute him, but first they got to take it through a grand jury. But what's a grand jury? Check this out.
Broke out during July and August 2014 over the killings of Eric Garner and Michael Brown. Then, in late November and early December, a grand jury decided not to criminally charge the police officers who were responsible for the two deaths, and protests erupted again. So, what are grand juries, and how important are they really? Well, a grand jury is like a test run for the prosecution. It's a way for the prosecution to see if there is enough evidence to pursue criminal charges, like murder. A grand jury differs from a trial jury mainly because it's entirely run by the prosecution, and it is just determining whether or not criminal charges should be levied. There is also no judge and no defense attorney. The prosecutor basically just throws all possible evidence, witness accounts, and even hearsay testimony at a jury to see if, in the right conditions, a jury might decide that there was probable cause. The jury usually numbers between 16 and 23 people, called at random, just like criminal juries. Although a grand jury's decision is independent of a trial jury's verdict, it is often a good indicator of the direction that the official trial will take. In this case, the prosecutor found that there was not enough evidence to bring these cases to trial, even though Garner's case was officially ruled a homicide and both men were unarmed. These decisions are also controversial because grand juries usually choose to indict. Reports have said that 99% of all cases that go before a federal grand jury end with the prosecution taking the case to criminal trial, and so do the majority of state grand juries. There's a famous quote from a former chief judge of New York that grand juries will indict a ham sandwich if the prosecution wants them to. However, the statistics also show that grand juries rarely indict. An investigation by the Houston Chronicle found that police have been nearly immune from criminal charges in shootings in large cities. For example, grand juries in Dallas, Texas reviewed 81 officer-related shootings between 2008 and 2012 and indicted only one person. Grand juries can be useful. If they choose to indict, a judge will see that there is enough evidence to move forward and the trial will be expedited. The problem here is that most grand juries involving police action choose not to indict. Many feel this is because the victims of that police action, people like Michael Brown and Eric Garner, have no one fighting for them in front of the grand jury. Prosecutors are selected by the state and not the victim's family. For more on the U.S. court system, check out.
All right, so that's kind of basically what happens is they bring the evidence in and it's presented, and they might bring in a cop or the police officers or wherever it is presented by the district attorney's office, who do have a dog in the fight. The district attorney wants to bring cases forward. That's their purpose. And I'm not saying there's no screen for the cases. There's no screening because there's a number of cases that are declined for prosecution, but it's brought in front of these group of people and then it's presented. And then the grand jury decides if they're going to go forward with an indictment. Evidence will come out in a grand jury than in a trial because the rules of evidence are applied differently. So a lot of times the grand jury will have a stronger understanding of whether the person who's prosecuted the defendant is guilty or not. It's kind of an interesting process. Now, Anglo-American jurisprudence, our legal system has famous for juries and grand juries. The jury system goes back to, I mean, they had juries in Athens, you know. So, but I suddenly realized I believe grand juries are Anglo-American, but there's a point in the 1100s when Britain is taken over by France, and so some novelties in government and law come in at that point, which were very beneficial down the road. All right, so the Barella case, Chris Barella, he's arrested at home, and he's taken off to Lee County. He's charged, and then the debate is whether he should have brought in this I guess it was a rifle into the jail, and also the question of whether he misspent money that wasn't his, and what they're calling embezzlement. And there was an argument over whether it was embezzlement to take money that's not yours and misspend it as opposed to convert it to your own. And I guess according to the state law, person could be charged with embezzlement for just misusing it, funds over $20,000. So what happened, you know, obviously Barella hires a local attorney, and then he puts in a plea of not guilty. Then on Monday, the third judicial district attorney, Mark D'Antonio, has been on the show a number of times, filed a motion to continue the preliminary examination originally set for Tuesday. Okay, so why does he do this? All right. They either have to put on what is called a preliminary examination or he's indicted. Now, I did a preliminary examination. Actually, I was retained by the gentleman who was involved in the case where there was the attack at the house on New Year's Eve, and the person ended up dying there. You remember that, the MMA fighter. that individual retained me for a case out in Carlsbad, and I went out and did a preliminary examination that I found to be extremely valuable for the defense. And I also paid for it to be transcribed, because the claims that were made in the initial case were contradicted repeatedly by these people in this preliminary examination. The preliminary examination is where you go through the, you know, the claims of the witnesses and the police or whatever. So I found that to be well worth it, and set up the, gave us a foundation to then go forward and get a good outcome in this case for my client. But in any event, so what Mark D'Antonio, I think, is hoping to do is not go through this, not show his hand, and then get it in front of the grand jury, get a vote to go forward with the prosecution, and then the prosecution switching over to district court and starting off the case. So it is a little bit of a chess match. All right, Kelly O'Connell here, and we're going to definitely keep a close eye on this. Case for you. 717, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, and we're going to be back to talk about some more stuff. Hey, it's Kelly.
Good morning, Mr. Kelly.
Hey, who's this?
This is Joel.
What are we going to talk about?
I was listening earlier in the news that there's the Congress is trying to pass a bill to give people without kids income tax.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Joel, let's do me a favor. I'm going to start asking people to make a little outline of what they're going to say, so if they get nervous or lose their thoughts, they'll have it right in front of them. I'll bring you back on in 2 minutes, okay?
Joel, well, I just wanted to, if you could research that,
Joel,
a little bit more,
Joel,
to see if it's true or not.
Okay, you want me to research for you?
Please, yeah.
Okay, all right, man. Thank you, Kelly. Here, 7:21, about 20 degrees out, 19, 18, 17, something like that. Chilly. A little bit chilly outside. All right, so let's get to a few headlines here for you. There is Trump is up 24 in New Hampshire. Rand Paul drops out. Rubio is dispatching his army on new lines of attack. Excuse me. Shadowy companies and big bucks, election mystery money returns. Jeb Bush is calling in his mother. Isn't that comforting? He tells a young voter, I want to be your first. Wow, easy there, Jeb. Gonna end up in cooling your heels somewhere. Now we are being told that the Zika, not to be confused with a zonkey. You know what a zonkey is? It's when you take a zebra and a donkey and you breed them and you get a very, very exotic critter, which has partial stripes, not full stripes. They're telling us that Zika, and they've got confirmed cases of Zika, the Zika virus that creates the babies with the malformed craniums, the little tiny heads, that can be spread by sex. So, isn't that interesting? And all right, so they've got a slasher in the subway in New York City, and they haven't caught him yet, but they're people are scared to go on the subway. Americans fleeing to Canada. They can't take it here anymore. Obama to visit mosque for the first time in office, and the mosque that he's going to is one that has been linked to terrorism, believe it or not, or at least radical speeches. Woodward of Woodward and Bernstein that brought down Nixon says Hillary's not comfortable with herself. That's very obvious. I wonder if she has any clue what she really believes, what she really stands for, other than getting elected president. I mean, her whole life has been sacrificed to that, right? She's experienced insult after insult as her husband chased other women and had affairs. And so now her entire, I'm sure she's going to judge herself thumbs up or thumbs down based on whether she becomes the president. Stephen Hawking, use black holes to power the world's electricity supply. Well, I mean, if you could get close enough to a black hole to take electricity from it, wouldn't you get sucked into it? I'm just saying, you know, I'm not the world's smartest guy, Stephen Hawking, who stated, as a matter of fact, that there is no God based on his studies of the cosmos. I mean, there's 100 billion galaxies, and inside of each galaxy is 100 billion stars, right? But that happened on its own. I mean, it would just seem to me studying the stars cause you to think, how did this stuff get here? How did it get organized? Where did these laws of nature come from? Where did all of this, you know, the solar systems and the it seems like it would cause a person to become more in awe, not go around telling people I've studied the stars and there is no God. Dick Morris is saying that there's no firewall for Hillary. It's got to be true, right? An underwhelming performance has got the elites nervous. They're shaking in their boots. If they don't have their Hillary in there, what are they going to do? So if Clinton loses the black vote to Trump, or at least a significant portion, or the Bannock vote, what's she going to do? Because they say there's a certain number of people in both the black and Hispanic populations that are going to support Trump, and he's going to get 20-30% if he's chosen to be the standard bearer for the GOP, then he's going to get in a general election 20-30% of disaffected Democrats who consider themselves to be conservatives who've never bothered to switch parties. So, I mean, I think she's a... What was my comparison to her? It would be like... I don't know. It would be like taking back... Well, I don't know. I was going to say Peyton Manning, but that's not really fair because Peyton Manning was... You know, I'm thinking about a surgically repaired person that gets back into sports, but this is his second Super Bowl after he got his neck operated on. So, somebody keeps texting me. I've got a little, somebody is furiously texting me. All right, so I'm going to turn down the volume on this texter, but let me get into these texts here. I'm going to find the text machine. I'm going to bring it back here. It's going to be better than ever. Let's see. Okay, so here's the text. Nope. One guy sitting alone in the middle of nothingness with no one else around because no one else or nothing else existed at all and said stuff for 6 days and bam, yep, that makes total sense. Ha, ha, ha. Well, all right. So people want to say they want to get into a religious argument. We know where all this stuff came from. It came from some big bang, but where did God come from? God creates the big bang. If you buy into God, then you don't put God under the rules of the universe, right? I mean, by definition, the person who creates is not under the rules of creation. That's just my kind of layman's take on this, is that it would be inappropriate to say that we live in a material universe. God is a part of the material universe. Where did God in the material universe come from? By definition, he's outside of it. Now, 5, 2, 3, 14, 50. If you're a cosmologist, and I've made a huge error. All right, somebody's a cosmologist, and they're calling in. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Oh, hello, Mr. Kelly. This is Steve. I'm not a cosmologist.
Okay.
And I don't cut hair.
All right.
But anyway.
Go ahead, Steve. What's on your mind?
I wanted to ask you, because I want to hear, I'm not from that side of the aisle, but just
right.
Tell me, how does the sound of Cruz Rubio ticket sound to you?
It sounds beautiful. Beautiful.
Cruz Rubio ticket, do you think that could win in Doñana County? Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve. I mean, look, understand when I'm looking at these people, I'm not choosing. Somebody came up and said, I'm surprised that you're supporting Trump. And if I was really supporting Trump, I probably would be surprised a little bit myself. I'm enjoying Trump, you know. Trump is like enjoying a bad habit that you know that you should have put away long ago. Trump is your go-to man. He's your Goomba. When everything else breaks down, you contact Trump. If he's your friend, if he's in your family, he's a fixer. He goes out and kicks butt and takes names. And speaking of the Bible and stuff like that, in biblical terms, he's a kinsman redeemer, which if you want to find out about that, go read the book of Ruth. But he's somebody that he helps you out. He's a leader. He's the guy that leads an army into battle and destroys the opposition. Now, what kind of a politician or what kind of a leader would he be in office? I don't know. I don't know what he really believes. He seems to have had a late life conversion to conservatism. But the Cruz Rubio ticket, why say it sounds beautiful? Anything that can beat the left, anybody, any group of people, any ticket that could beat the Democratic candidate is beautiful to me, because the effect, the cost of having the current occupant of the White House in office has been so extraordinary, absolutely just astounding what we've lost. And I think more than anything, we've lost our spirit. We've lost our convictions. We've lost our way. When you have somebody telling you for years, it's like growing up in a family where, you know, somebody in the family tells you you're an idiot, you're ugly, you're not smart, you can't make it, you know, you need to get onto welfare. I mean, all this stuff. After a while, it begins to take its toll. And you've got a person in office now that is just totally convinced that America is no different, no better than any other place. And it's about time we pipe down and mind our own business. And by the way, I'm going to celebrate Islam every chance I get. And if Christians are getting killed in the Middle East, I'm not going to bother to bring them over here. But I will move heaven and earth to bring tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of Muslims whose innate belief system is opposed to our form of government. I'll bring them over here, and I will never apologize. And when somebody tries to shut that down, I'll get outraged and call him a bigot. That's the kind of leadership that we've been under, you know? Anybody, any of these people, I can say, you know, Rand Paul dropped out. I think he would have been a great president. I don't know about his foreign policy, but you would have to, that'd be a study, you know, it would be working it out on the ground. But Cruz, you bring in an ideologue who is tapped into America's ideology. I guess he's not an ideologue, because when we think about that term, we think about leftism and Marxism and everything. But he is an idealist who is committed to the rule of law and the Constitution, according to many people. He memorized he memorized the Constitution at 13 when Barack Obama was probably memorizing the Quran at 13. And anybody who's enthusiastic about the rule of law is the only thing that can help us save us, because it's the only thing that separates personalities from rules, from standards. If you're living in a situation where there is no rule of law, what you end up with is some level of tyranny, because it's going to end up with the most powerful personality is going to lay their imprint on the society. All right, 7:33, Kelly O'Connell, and we'll be right back to continue on with this. AM Las Cruces, 1450, and 523-1450 to call in. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, we got Jess Williams here, and we just found out the news that Nelson Gooden is disqualified from the case between the county county commission and Sheriff Kiki. So a couple of big wins in a row for Kiki in his crusade to, I guess, in his mind, pare back the power of the county commission. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning. It's good to see you.
Yeah, Johnny. You too, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I don't really have any comment about it. The judge's ruling stands on its own, but this is a matter that there's still pending litigation regarding that case. So county's policy is we don't comment on that. But, of course, we'll study our options and move forward in the wake of the ruling. If you're out and about this evening and you're interested in drainage in the area of Salem, we are going to have a public meeting.
And who isn't?
Who isn't interested in that, Kelly? Really? We expect a packed house tonight at 6:30 at the Caballo Soil and Water District.
BYOB.
We'll have representatives of Smith Engineering
speaking
and
of drainage.
The Flood Commission on hand. If you live down in La Mesa, you're going to see some road closures. We've got some sinkholes that need to be repaired on East San Miguel Street and East Josephine Street. So the road crews will be out digging out and repairing those sinkholes. It'll affect both streets near the intersection of St. Valentine, and so we advise motorists to proceed with caution. You know, we've talked about this, about Miguel in the past, Kelly, and the Board of County Commissioners meeting Tuesday at 9 a.m., and among the items on that 15-item agenda is a proclamation co-sponsored by Commissioner Rawson and Commissioner Garcia honoring Miguel Silva and declaring February 16th, which would have been his birthday, as Miguel Silva Day throughout Doñana County. So we're looking forward to that. If you're unable to attend that meeting, you can watch it stream live off our website. If you're interested in serving on the Housing Authority Board, we do have a vacancy to do a resignation. Those applications are due no later than 5 p.m. Friday, February 5th. If you'd like to apply, you need to send in a resume, a letter of interest, and three letters of reference, and get those to our chief planner, Janine Divyak, before 5 p.m. on Friday. The appointees serve staggered five-year terms. You know, all over the news, Kelly, has been police shootings and people second-guessing the cops and what they were going to do. Well, our sheriff's office, for the second time, we're going to offer a use of force class to let people see exactly what it's like. It even has a video interaction where you have to make the decision. Are you going to pull the trigger? You have to make it very quickly. And they tell you whether you were right or wrong. And they're going to go over what the training is that these officers get and how they, what are the ramifications of a shooting. All that is going to be served up on February 20th from 8:30 to 2:30. But we only have 25 spots available. There is a background check on everybody who comes in. If you'd like to apply, you can email Kelly Jamison, Kelly J. at DoñaAnaCounty.org. And, of course, that road work continuing up on Baylor Canyon and Dripping Springs Roads, that project, about $2.8 million in scope. There'll be some paving on Dripping Springs, some improvement to the roadbed on Baylor Canyon, and that's going to continue through April. Please be careful up in that area. And our pet of the week is Zarina. She's a pit bull mix, about 3 years old. She'll be at the farmer's market downtown on Saturday from 9 to 1, and the Animal Service Spokes Office will be set up at Petco from 11 to 3 on Saturday.
And she's only bit three humans, from what I understand.
She has never bit a human. Oh, okay. She is the sweetest girl you ever did see, and she just has a wonderful personality. She loves going on long walks. She's a good dog for an energetic family. Our friends over at Action Programs for Animals are participating in V1 Valentine's Adoption Promotion through February 14th. Adoption fees only $14. If you'd like more information on how to adopt a dog from them, the number to call 644-0505. And our friends over at Safe Haven are going to have an adoption event this Saturday from 11 to 3 up at the Tractor Supply Company at 1440 East Picacho. So we invite you to go to that. Also want to remind people the laws on chaining have changed, and licensing, all animals are required to be licensed and microchipped.
I was going to ask, is that for people or animals?
That's for the animals, Kelly.
And the laws for chaining people are still the same?
Yeah, those haven't changed.
All right, that's good to hear. Anything else?
That's what I've got on my plate today. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. I got a little cold, as I mentioned. I was giving a little fist. But, you know, I got this cold right before New Year's, and it seemed to go away. And then when I went to Vegas, I think it was plotting its...
I get sick every time I go on an airplane, without fail.
Is it the stewardesses that get under your skin?
That must be it. There's some common denominator.
We've got a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Karen.
Yeah, well, Karen, what's up?
I wanted to ask...
ask Jess, and I don't, maybe he can't answer, but I read something in the paper that kind of stuck with me. Jess, is Nick Gutierrez still working with the DA, or was there a problem with his law license?
I can't speak for the district attorney's office. That's a state agency. I represent the county. But they do have their own public information officer. His name is Patrick Hayes, and I'm sure he'd be able to answer that question for you.
Is Patrick Hayes' nickname Purple?
I don't think so, but that's right. That's an interesting thing to think about.
Okay, bye, guys.
Well, we'll do research for you. Thanks. I know that Mick's no longer there over the DA's office. Nice guy. But see if we can find out. But all right, so anything else?
That's all I've got for you, Kelly.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Always good to be here.
Wonderful to have you. And here's a little comedy clip for you. And just finished talking to Jess Williams, spokesman for the county, the ever entertaining and totally unpredictable county of Doña Ana. And you wouldn't drive into this valley and think, man, there is just this is a pot that's always boiling over.
There's a lot of good stuff going on all the time, and there's the occasional boiling pot. I'll agree with you.
All right. Have a good day, Jess, and folks, we'll be right back.
My buddy told me to go jog, and he said that I would get in shape really fast and that it was cheap. And that might be true. I live in the Northwest. I don't want to jog in the Northwest. I'll tell you why. I'm not afraid of rain, or I'm not really lazy. I just don't want to find a dead body. Joggers and people that hike by themselves are always finding dead people. That's why they're running. They never stop for you. You ever been in your car and the rain's driving and there's some guy outside jogging, idling, waiting for the light to turn? I'm going, hey, buddy, what are you doing? I just found that guy. Hey, where? He's in a shallow grave. Good eye. Lucky you have that shovel.
All right, I've got a little clip. Hillary sent out all these emails or had emails with information that was so highly classified it cannot even be mentioned. So what happens if, God forbid Hillary would be forced to leave the race? What happens? What happens if our heroine, the woman that was sent here from heaven to save us, what if she has to leave? Here's a little clip on that. And this is from our friends at Fox News.
I had no intention of doing anything other than having a convenient way of communicating, and it turned out not to be so convenient. So again, we've answered every question, and we will continue to do so.
That was Hillary Clinton moments ago defending her use of a private email server as Secretary of State. There are currently 150 FBI agents investigating that case. And last week we learned that her unsecured server contained the nation's most secretive and highly classified national secrets, though she denies that description. Shannon Coffin is a former Justice Department Assistant Deputy Attorney General and former counsel to Vice President Dick Cheney. Shannon, good to see you.
Hi,
so she says she's answered all the questions and she was just looking for a way, to improve her convenience. We've heard that before. That's going to be the party line. But now she says it wasn't that convenient. I mean, it was convenient. Just now it turned out to be a pain in the neck.
Well, there are rules in place that we know about that, convenience doesn't come into play. When you're dealing with national security information, convenience is the least consideration that comes into play. And you know, taking something off of one server that's supposed to be secure and moving it to an unsecure email system in your basement may be convenient, but it might be illegal as well.
You think it's very significant that she signed this agreement as to how she was going to handle classified material, apparently at the outset of her term as Secretary of State. Explain that in terms we can all understand.
Sure. Just like every other federal employee, when she's given access to classified information, she's told up front that she has to store it properly, that she can't remove it from classified settings. And she's told up front that her failure to abide by these rules can subject her to criminal prosecution. So she was on notice from the beginning, just like every other employee that deals with this.
What?
And those other employees, Megan, are often prosecuted when they do very similar things.
You know, she said over and over, I never sent or received anything that was marked classified.
Right.
And I get that that's a red herring because
absolutely
it doesn't have to have the stamp. What matters is what's in the document. Is it a defense to say, I actually didn't realize this stuff was classified. I didn't know.
Well, no, it's not a defense for the Secretary of State, who is a classifying authority as designated by the President of the United States. It's absolutely not a defense. We've talked at length in the past about foreign communications. Those foreign communications are inherently classified, and as the Secretary of State, she would know that.
What?
And when you're talking about these top secret documents, pardon me, Megan. When you talk about these top secret documents, the very nature of the information is going to tip off that it's protected.
What is most problematic in your view? The fact that they were kept on an unsecured server that may have been attacked. I mean, you've got some former top defense officials under the President Obama saying, guarantee me, I guarantee you, it was hacked. It was hacked by the Chinese and the Russians. That, or the fact that she has admitted giving these documents to her lawyer, who does not, no question, does not have the necessary security clearance.
Well, look, all of the above. Don't forget
that. That's what Petraeus did. He gave the documents to his biographer, who had a security clearance, if memory serves, but not the highest level.
Don't forget this. She gave the entire server to a server company that had no clearance either, right? So the entire server was put at risk. But look, as far as national security goes, just keeping these documents on this server subjected them to all sorts of hacking risks from China, from Russia, from all of these other countries.
Iran.
Exactly. So she was creating national security risks just by having the server. As my friend Jonah Goldberg likes to say, it's the server, stupid.
Shannon, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Megan.
So is there really a chance that Hillary Clinton might be indicted? And if she is, what happens to this race? Kirsten Powers is a Fox News contributor and a USA Today columnist. Kirsten, good to see you. So I don't know what the chances are. I mean, I've heard smart lawyers say it could happen. And I've heard smart lawyers say it's a partisan witch hunt. If she gets indicted, what does happen?
Well, first of all, I think the chances of her getting indicted are remote. And I'm not saying this from a legal perspective. I'm talking about it more from a political perspective.
Because President Obama controls the DOJ.
It's impossible to imagine the Justice Department moving forward with this. Even if the FBI made a recommendation, there's no grand jury without the Justice Department being on board with this. And I just don't see them doing that.
And President
especially
Obama,
in an election.
Presumably we have to sign off on that. I mean, today,
yep,
President Obama
right.
heaped praise on her. He seemed to be making very clear in Politico, this is who I'd like you to vote for. His comments about
yes.
Bernie Sanders were not that laudatory, and his
right.
comments about her were. So he must believe she will be in Obama third term. He does not want to see her get indicted if that's the case.
No, he doesn't want to see her get indicted, and obviously Democrats would be very upset if that happened. But setting that aside, let's just say she did get indicted, and what would happen? I presume that Joe Biden would jump in the race.
Mm-hmm.
Probably we would see Bloomberg jumping in the race. Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York City, who has said he would only run if it was Trump or Sanders who was the candidate who would be running against. So essentially on the Democratic side, would only want to run against Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
So if for some reason Hillary Clinton's not in the race, maybe Michael Bloomberg jumps.
All right. So anyway, that's what happens. You don't know what and that the different person gets in the race, what happens. But I will say one thing that, you know, it's different, you know, to jump into a race and be anointed. If Joe Biden was the nominee, I think it would be better for Sanders or even O'Malley, who's put in the work. But I agree, she is not going to get indicted. That's all there is to it. This president will never, ever undercut his own legacy. We'll take a break here and come back. I've got a very disturbing story to tell you about when we come back. Well, just a moment here, but I've got this story up here about what the government is doing, bringing in refugees, and they are trying to relocate them over these refugees. And I don't have enough time to get into this today, but under the theory that we owe it to the world to bring in as many refugees as possible, they've brought in refugees to Amarillo. They've got 100 and some bizarre number of, 42 languages being spoken in 911 call centers that are coming in, 22 different languages spoken in schools. Amarillo is coming apart at the seams. It's got surreal level of violence. And here's one of the things that have happened because, and I can get into the cultural and legal reasons tomorrow for you, but rape has gone through the roof in some of these communities. For example, rape was almost unheard of in Sweden, and now it is the second number place in the world to get raped, and it's virtually all Muslim males that are doing it because they're not used to being around females in this way, and the rules on rape are very lax in the Middle East, and it's shocking. I've got to get it to you tomorrow. I kind of ran out of time on it. Thanks for listening in AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, enjoyed spending time with you. Have a great day. I'll take you out with Tom Scott's New York Live album, Apple Juice.